And knows that you're pressing record, so you catch like B-roll stuff. Is that what you did? See what I mean? Then you get the.
Here we go. Welcome back, everyone. We are here with the Sheepdogs podcast again, and so happy to be here with Sam Deary today. This is Father Jacob Willig, trying to run the pod track.
run the podcast back track.
That's right.
We got some stuff planned for today. Actually, we don't really have any stuff planned for today. We just have a fire and a desire to do awesome things and to pursue excellence and to put stuff out there. I just want to put something out there and see if people have positive reactions to it, and it's something that helps people, because this type of stuff has helped me in the past. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, great. Great. Well, let's dive in with a prayer, huh?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this day. Thank you for this time. I pray for anyone who might listen to this podcast that may know your grace and peace. And we thank you, Lord. We just commend this time to you. May we be aware of the presence of your Holy Spirit. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good. What's been on your mind, Sam?
So, we talk so much in terms of evangelization, how it's important to present the gospel to people, and which is so great. And of course, you have to do that, and you have to tell the stories of what Jesus went through and the apostles went through, and also the typology and all those things that are really interesting that light our hearts on fire. I've been listening to Scott Hahn a lot, and he talks so much about typology, and he loves the walk to Emmaus and how their hearts were set on fire and their eyes were opened and the breaking of the bread, and all these things are so great. But how does that look on our walk to Farmer School of Business rather than to Emmaus? You know, how does that look in our day-to-day life? How do you live that? And that is why I've always loved the saints, because we have what Christianity is primarily. It's a religion of relationship and a religion which you live out. And part of that living out is obviously reading the Gospels and understanding the Gospels. But the way that the saints were able to inhabit the Gospels, to inhabit that love in their hearts, is what's so inspiring. And the way that you can look at every single one and how they're all so different but also the same sort of gives you this, has given me all of these mentors in a way that help me understand what it means to live out the gospel. And then what's also so amazing is about them is the way that you're able to build relationships with them in a way, in a special way that you can't with other people that inspire you in other ways in your life. And so the last thing I'm going to say is this, in this bit of a preamble here. As human beings, we're just so inspired by people who have a passion for something. Mm-hmm. You look at Kobe Bryant. If you just listen to him, I started shooting hoops at the rec after I was lifting because I was just so inspired by Kobe. So you have that aspect of wanting to do what they do, but also just in general, I don't shoot hoops anymore. But when I listened to Kobe Bryant and the way that he was so focused on his craft and growing in excellence in that craft is inspiring for applying to whatever it is that I want to be focused on and the things that I want to do. Same thing with Tom Brady, with Michael Jordan, these great athletes and these great artisans who, just looking at La Pietà or looking at the Sistine Chapel or looking at the Statue of David and thinking of Michelangelo doing that when he was in his young 20s. I think he chiseled out of that block La Pietà when he was like 21 or 22 years old.
Yeah.
And it
19, I think, maybe.
Oh, who knows? Louise.
Yeah.
Something. You've seen it in person, so I don't know. But
it's inspiring, like you're saying.
It's
yeah.
so inspiring. You're like, oh, if he can do something amazing, then I can do something amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's their love for that thing that inspires you to love your thing or to even love their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what is so amazing about the saints is that their primary love is for God.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that they do is now magnified to this degree beyond whatever Kobe Bryant could do, because his ability to love basketball is limited. You know, and I also think that his main love, deep down inside, is growing in those characteristics that make one able to be good at basketball. You know, and I don't want to ramble on here too much, but I love this entrepreneur named Alex Hormozi, and I don't love a lot of his morals and stuff, so don't go by that. But if you just go by his business, and those are all good things, he talks about how the most important thing that you get from growing in your business and being able to grow a business is the characteristics that you develop along the way, because those are the things that are most important. And mm-hmm. even as someone who's not a Christian, he recognizes that. So beyond just that, the things that some of these saints that I at least have written down to go over today accomplished is just, it's so amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's so inspiring to me, and it makes you want to pray, which is just an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they're working and they're interceding for us in that way. So generally, if this turns out to be something that people are excited about, something that is fruitful, and we continue to do it, so give us your feedback.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do, and it's totally open-ended, you know, we do whatever we want, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through the saints of the week, learn about the saints every single day, and especially sitting here now realizing good to have a little bit of notes on them and things that you want to touch on, and having a place for people to go to hear about these saints and just get a brief overview and summary of their lives, I think will enrich their spiritual life and just their everyday life greatly.
Yeah. Another thing too, it is, I've always been inspired by the saints. I remember when I was a little kid, I'd go to mass with my family, and I never remembered the homily unless he was telling the story of a saint, because we just relate with the stories so well. But the beautiful thing, yeah, about in the midst of that too, is that we see God working in these saints, because it's this supernatural grace where God can do amazing things, even with people who, he just builds on their talents, basically, right? He builds on their talents, and if they're all in and generous, the Lord can just like do miraculous things that are supernatural too. And it's just inspiring because the Lord is in the midst of that too. You know, it's even above the natural to the supernatural too. But even on the natural level, it's good to be inspired because these people, they're all in, and they've done so much. And we're all called to be saints. We could all be saints. So it is inspiring. Yeah,
absolutely. And that was John Paul II's big inspirational thing, that you can just be a saint with the way that you are. Look, I also love skiing, and I also love playing sports. Also love God first and foremost and primarily. And you see so many supernatural stories that come from that really begins, grace builds on nature. And, you know, still trying to understand it, what that means entirely. But it, in order for God to also work in your life in supernatural ways, you got to have the natural things in order. But that is what's so great. One of the things that puts these saints above all the other people that I talked about is, it's beyond us. It's beyond this world. It's something that's greater infinitely.
Yeah. At the same time, it's great because, like you're saying, these people are just humans too. You know, they have their weaknesses, and they become saints in the midst of just their normal lives, you know, messy lives and lives that are imperfect and things that we're so relatable to. And their weaknesses can sometimes become their strengths because they're just turning them over to the Lord. And yeah, it's amazing.
Okay. So because today is weird, and because I probably will do this again anyways, I just was thinking back to the ones who have inspired me the most up until this point. So the first saint that I want to talk about is St. John Neumann. It's funny because St. John Neumann, who's a different man entirely, mm-hmm. his feast day is
tomorrow.
The 9th of October. So the first saint that I want to talk about is St. John Neumann. He was born in the Czech Republic in the early 1800s and grew up in a devout family, ended up joining the seminary. And when he was there, he really wanted to learn English. And they didn't have any English classes, so he took the only other class in language that he could, which was French. And after he learned French, he somehow got a hold of a textbook on how to learn French that was in English. And that's where he started in teaching himself English. And he taught himself English from a French textbook. And that's
incredible.
That is incredible. And then he goes through, obviously a great student, but to the point where he has his ordination date and the bishop becomes sick and they cancel the ordination date. And then when the bishop was better, they said, you know what, we already have a surplus of priests here. We're just not going to ordain you. And so he goes through all of that process, and they say, you can't be ordained. And he said, well, I am not going to accept that answer, and I feel this calling, and I especially feel this calling to evangelize in the United States. So he walks from the Czech Republic to the shores of France He just walks there and takes a ship across the Atlantic Ocean and finds himself in Buffalo, New York, where he comes to the bishop and says, I want to be a priest. And he says, absolutely. There was one church in New York City at the time, one Catholic church in New York City at the time. They said, of course, we'd love to have you. So they have him there, and he does all of this work in Buffalo. He would walk miles and miles everywhere, and he would only sustain himself on bread and water to the point where he was just becoming very sickly. Mm-hmm. And the bishop said, I think that you should be in some community, and you need to change. And he sends them to Baltimore to an order that was just probably started about a century earlier by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And he was with the Redemptorists for a while. And eventually he went to Philadelphia and became the bishop there. And he, at the age of 41, he became Bishop of Philadelphia. And every month for years and years, he established at least one new Catholic parish. And they went from having no Catholic schools to over 100 in the time that he was bishop. And he even is recorded as sending a letter to the bishop, to the Bishop of Rome, to the Pope. And he said, I don't think that I'm doing my job very well here. I think that you should remove me from this position as bishop. And how could you think that, first of all? But I think he was also working with Elizabeth Ann Seton, and these two saints really worked together to build up the school system, but also just the parishes in general. And I don't remember the numbers exactly for what he established there when he was Bishop of Philadelphia, but it went from nothing to just this overabundance.
Yeah.
And at a time when it was super necessary, when all of these immigrants were coming in from Europe, and you had the first big rush of Catholics coming in from Europe into the United States, and God really provided the United States, especially that spot right on the shore, for people to come in and have the Catholic community and the places for to worship and to practice their Catholic faith, starting their new life. And it's just amazing the things that was accomplished. And the last thing I'm going to quote him on here, when he came and he baptized, had his first baptism, he said, if this is all I do, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. And he just realized that the most important thing was that ability to bring just, if even just one soul is the heart of the good shepherd, you know, just to bring one soul into relationship with Christ was enough for him. And that is why he just didn't see the weight of his ability to establish all these parishes as important, because they weren't anything compared to what he could provide people in terms of growing a relationship with God.
Yeah, wow, it's amazing. Yeah, somebody like that just working their fingers to the bone, you know. He's like just a new missionary in the U.S. I mean, doing all that, building churches, and at the same time fasting on bread and water. It's inspiring. It's incredible. Yeah, and then at the same time, just his great humility too, you know. He's not like, look at all these things I've established. He's like writing to the Holy Father, you know. Of course, there was such a need at that time too, you know, realizing the great need for education. I'm sure, yeah, if you've seen that new movie about, what's the one with...
Francis de Chantal?
No, St. Francis de Cabrini.
Yes.
St. Francis Cabrini.
Wrong one.
Yeah, Cabrini. She, it's kind of around that similar time, like the early days, and there were just so many people and orphans, and yeah, not a lot of schools, and Catholics aren't like super respected a lot of the time, and so it was a tough time. It's a tough time. You can imagine, easy to get discouraged, but at the same time, yeah, he's just doing so much work to, for people. Just a lot of it probably, of course, is just for, you know, jobs and all that stuff too in the beginning, but then, yeah. His teaching, education, all that next step. It's huge. I don't know him too well, but yeah, he's amazing. Amazing American.
And another thing that was pointed out in when I was looking into him was, of course, his great administrative abilities, his ability to run a budget and to distribute funds well, and mm-hmm. that is when you see these supernatural things, again, coming back to, and correct me wherever I'm going too far one way or the other, but that's when I look at myself and my schoolwork and seeing how my excellence in my schoolwork mm-hmm. and my excellence in the gym and my excellence in my eating habits and all these different things all are going to be used by God, and he's going to be able to use those the better that we can establish those oh, virtues yeah. and those disciplines.
100%. Yeah, that's why, like you're saying, yeah, just pursue our best in everything. You know, I think too of just like administration or yeah, studying business, whatever you're studying, in scripture too, you know, we hear about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and yeah, one of those, I forget if they call it exactly a gift, but yeah, it talks about, yeah, prophecy and these kind of things in scripture, but also mentions administration, you know, that is a huge thing we need, you know, in church and to care for people and to pass on the faith and to teach and all these things, you know, it talks about teachers, administrators, yeah, prophets, all these things, but administration is a very important one. Not everyone has that gift, but yeah, all of us need to cultivate our gifts, like you're saying, because yeah, that's why the Lord has given us specifically that gift, and no one else has it in the same way, you know, or has that same mix of gifts and talents that we do have. And so we have to cultivate what we have because, yeah, it's so powerful, every single thing. So
it's like ammunition for the Holy Spirit. That's mm-hmm. almost how I think of it. It's like just adding on more skills and offering them back up to God, and he'll use them in great ways. And St. John Neumann is a great example of that. And like you said, again, that great humility, that understanding that it was God doing all this work, but also an understanding of the importance of the sacraments and the supremacy of the sacraments in our lives beyond all of these other skills that he had.
Hmm.
So that's my first saint. Where would you start with your first saint, Father?
Yeah, one we had early October, St. Francis of Assisi, super inspiring for me. I've liked him since I was a little kid. And one thing, I think he gets a lot of, you know, there's so many things about St. Francis. You know, we often think of him, for those who know a little bit more about him, he's often maybe misquoted, or, you know, we're not always sure about things that they've shared about him in the past. Or, you know, of course, people love that he preached the animals, you know, and he did have a lot of interactions with nature. And he was always outside, which I appreciate that a lot, I should say. He was very much outside or walking to different places with his brothers. But one thing that's inspiring for me as a priest is, anyone, I hope, just his love for the Eucharist. I mean, St. Francis was not a priest himself even. We believe he was a deacon because he preached. But his love for the Eucharist in so many ways. And I began to think of a few stories. There's a great story, a great book on him, which I believe they tried to have it accurate as possible, but also there's a lot of the fun stories about him too, he and the brothers. But it's by a Dominican. I believe his name is Father Augustine. But yeah, one story about St. Francis. Of course, St. Francis did go to the Holy Father, the Pope, at the time, and he was asking about starting his religious order. So he goes, I don't remember which, I think he went to the Pope a couple times, but while he was there, he not only asked about that, he also asked, can I have... he wanted to have a special Christmas Mass and kind of basically make it a live nativity scene. He wanted to be the first live nativity scene. He wanted to have the people of the town dress up as, you know, as village people from the time of Christ, people first century Jews. He wanted to have the ox and the ass there, you know, he wanted people to dress up. He wanted to have, all these things. And so he got permission from the Holy Father to do that. And so they had this Mass celebrated. He was on his way back home in Greccio. And so they celebrated a Mass there. And of course, they made it beautiful. You know, St. Francis also, another thing, speaking of the Eucharist, his great reverence. You know, they show him as a beggar. He was a beggar. But at the same time, he always took the greatest care of the linens for the altar because he loved our Lord and he wanted great reverence. So he did that too. But so they celebrated. There was this Mass celebrated and St. Francis preached on how Jesus... he's made present in the Eucharist, and there's actually a quote that I have on my first Mass card, and it says that just as Jesus descended into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary at Christmas, so Jesus descends into the hand of the priest at the altar each and every day. And I love that quote, right? And so we just realize that, yeah, you know, Jesus is, he was made present in the Blessed Virgin Mary at Christmas, so he wants to be present in our lives and on our altars. And so anyways, going back to the story, St. Francis was there, and he's preaching on the Eucharist, and at the end then of Mass, there was the manger. They had a manger there in front of the altar, I believe, and baby Jesus miraculously appeared, basically, is what happened. A baby Jesus miraculously appeared there after Holy Communion at some point, and it's just phenomenal, right? So Christmas, and they have this first like midnight Mass, basically, and all the people are dressed up as modern or times of first century Jews, and Jesus appears, and then so many people were actually healed later on too, as they took straw from that manger, you know, because Jesus only appeared there for however long, a few moments. People take this straw home, and many people are healed from different things that they were suffering from. But I just love, yeah, St. Francis, his love for the Eucharist is something we don't hear enough about. Another thing just related to that, St. Francis, he would often travel. As I said, he spent most of his life outside, I believe. You know, he's walking around, going on pilgrimage. He walked all the way to the Holy Land at one point when it was run by the Muslims, right? So it was a very dangerous place at the time to go, but he goes all the way to there. Going back to the story I'm going to tell, so St. Francis, often outside, when he was traveling, he would sleep outside of a church just so he could be close to the Eucharist, which I think is so great. So he'd sleep on the steps of the church if that's where he had to sleep. And I think in our own lives, it's just good to think, you know, like, how close are we to the Blessed Sacrament? You know, or just think of like, okay, how close am I to the Lord? Or just to remember that. I don't know, because Jesus is present in our lives. But also, yeah, you know, how can I just even make a visit for 1 minute or whatever that is, just to speak with Jesus or know his presence. But anyways, when St. Francis would walk with his brothers, they remember him when he saw a steeple in the distance, of course, steeple of a church where Jesus would be present in the Blessed Sacrament. He would genuflect, or he'd get down on his knees, and he would say a line which is very similar to the line that we have in the Stations of the Cross, where it says, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world." And I don't remember the line exactly, it was a little bit more extended, but that's where we get that line from at the Stations of the Cross, because the early Franciscans, right around the time of St. Francis, right after, they were the ones that developed the 14 Stations of the Cross. And St. Francis loved that, when you could enter into the story. So St. Francis was the first one to really invent the creche, or the nativity scene, following that Mass. And then the early Franciscans loved that, entering into, again, the 14 Stations of the Cross, and even taking his words to have that every time we genuflect at each station. We say that cross, we say that line, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world." And so just wanted to share a few of those stories. I was reflecting earlier this week how, yeah, St. Francis, just a great love for the Eucharist, and so much so respect that he didn't feel he was worthy to become a priest. But just an amazing saint, and one who was just all in for our Lord with great humility, but also great courage. His will, it was just like, he was always about God's will. And I can imagine, you know, Jesus, who never seems hurried, but just always kind of like present to people and there, but also there for us in many ways. St. Francis, just a real Eucharistic saint, and one who realized his care for the Blessed Sacrament, and his love for the Lord, and his attentiveness, and even just wanting to be close to our Lord in the churches. So that's something that was really inspiring for me, that I continually ponder. And I think it's helpful too, in his great humility and great love for mankind, you know, caring for so many people and living as a beggar, imitating Christ, but also a great love for the sacraments and the Eucharist. So, yeah, that's one thing I'm asking St. Francis' help recently, is just in that.
Yeah, like I said at the beginning, all the saints' lives are different, but you also see a lot of the similarities between all of them. And that is that one similarity that is always there, of course, is that deep love and reverence and closeness to the Eucharist. And that was such a beautiful quote, that the way that Jesus descended into the womb of Mary, so the baby Jesus descends into the hands of the priest at the consecration. Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because that is, in reality, what is happening.
Yeah, it's like Christmas every day.
Exactly. And in a really actual, real, physical, and spiritual way, at Mass. Mm-hmm. I read this book called The Incredible Catholic Mass, and he just, the priest who wrote it, Father Martin von Kochum, just kept reiterating that over and over and over again. This is God. This is Jesus. This is the sacrifice of the Mass. This is the purpose for your existence. This is the way that you receive grace and build a relationship with God and how you encounter heaven. Why would you ever miss it? Mm-hmm. Why would you ever give anything as much reverence and attention as you give the Mass? Mm-hmm. And that is why its value is so, it's incalculable, it's infinite. Mm-hmm. And so we offer these things that we have, like our humble little St. Joseph's Chapel. It's not the Sistine Chapel, but it's what we had to offer to God. And I love the amount of time that you guys spent on making that chapel, and the way that you come back in and you're always doing something new to better the chapel, because I think it also puts our hearts in a disposition of this is where we want to give our best and give our reverence. Like Saint Francis of Assisi would always make sure that the linens were perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. And what value is that? Well, in my heart, what I think is that the value is in my heart, that I'm putting my heart in a disposition to give God my very best. And I've been inspired by people who came before me, especially the seniors. When I was a freshman, I'd see people like Johnny, I'd see people like Elizabeth Huddleston. They'd be at Mass every day, and they were always attentive, and they were always reverent. And you see that, and you want to give the same example to people who come after you, and also just show that reverence.
Yeah.
But
yeah, thanks for sharing that. Actually, I was just finishing the last pages of that book today.
Oh, really?
So thanks for the recommendation. Yeah, it is an amazing book, and it's written centuries ago now, but it's so good. But also what you're saying, I heard a great insight. You're talking about bringing our best to the Lord and reverence. I heard this great insight from this priest this week, and he was talking about bring your offering. Of course, we always talk about bringing our hearts, and you know, of course you bring your money too, which is important. But he was making the point, he's like, you know, we should just encourage people, because I think sometimes from the saints, a lot of it's just getting good ideas, you know, or people that I admire, people that I think are wise. I'm always just trying to get good ideas. I'm not an ideas guy. But this priest made the point, he's like, we should really get rid of like those flower companies that bring flowers and just like remind people, like, you could just bring flowers and put them before Jesus or Mary or like Saint Therese, like one professor did this week, you know, like that's your offering, which is so beautiful too. So just a reminder, some of our students, sometimes we feel like, oh, I might not have that much money or something, but you know, it's so beautiful, whatever we bring to our Lord, and how can we make, yeah, the church more beautiful or whatever it is, you know, how we dress. But I thought that was so beautiful, like just bring in some flowers. Like I need to do that myself as a priest more, you know, just flowers for my mom, Mother Mary, whoever.
A beautiful story from one of the couples who just got married, Ben and JoJo. One time Ben brought JoJo flowers, and JoJo took those flowers and put them out in front of Mary on her front porch, and I just thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Ben offered her flowers, and I think that makes Ben feel so much like his gift was worth so much more because JoJo went and laid them out before the Blessed Mother on her front porch. So whatever you can offer, especially those beautiful things, which makes me think of the last saint that I want to touch on, that I know you know a lot about this saint too. So, Saint Therese, whose feast day was October 1st, yes?
I think so.
And she was the youngest of four. I'm always going to be looking at you to be checking my facts here. She was the youngest of four, and her three oldest sisters all joined religious orders, two of them Carmelites, and I forget which the other one was.
Visitation, yeah. I know she had a couple other siblings, but a lot of them died in childbirth.
Oh, okay. So
I think, but yeah, you're right, those who lived to adulthood, or yeah. Mm-hmm.
But her, from a very young age, her devotion to prayer, I think of that as being largely a byproduct of the environment that she grew up in. That this is what her family did. Yeah. And even though she wasn't necessarily specifically taught how to do this, and sometimes you can't even, there are obviously aspects when you have a desire for mental prayer to grow in that understanding and how to pray that way, but especially for me, sometimes it's, at some point it's just something that you discover in your prayer life, and as, especially as a young kid. I remember praying as a young kid, and in some ways you wonder how you even started doing it, and it's just the Holy Spirit at work. But that aspect of her life, that she grew up in this household of a bunch of devout and prayerful family members, gives me the responsibility to, in whatever environment I'm in and whatever community that I'm in, to make sure that you're living up to a good example and helping build that culture around the type of environment that you think you should be in.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck out to me this time listening through her story, when there's obviously so many things about her little way and all of the deep sufferings that she went through up until the end of her life. She said, I never thought it was possible to suffer so much at the end of her life when she became sick.
Wow.
And that's the other thing I want to say about her is she did start small, and she continued to always do those small things and to always offer up those small things. And we see how the offering up of those small things led to much greater things. And she, of course, had a devotion to St. John of the Cross, who, when God appeared to him and asked him what he wanted, he said, to spend a life suffering for your sake. And so it's these little things adding up to this entire giving, mm-hmm. which she had attained to a high degree by the end of her life. And I always like to point that out with St. Therese, because yes, the little way and all these little things and little sacrifices, so important, and are oftentimes much harder than you expect them to be, but also the extent to which she did reach great heights of sanctity, in which she did things by the grace of the Holy Spirit that were very great and were very tough, to the point of saying, I didn't even think it was possible to suffer as much as I did before she died. So from a saint that's talked about so much these days, those were my few takeaways this year.
No, that's great. Yeah, thinking too, like sometimes we see these great people we mentioned. Yeah, you're talking about some of the athletes in the beginning. And I think St. Therese had those great ideas too. You know, she wanted to be a missionary and, you know, from a young age, you know, do all that. And she ended up in just, a cloister, you know. so close to home, not even out in public most of her life, but private life. And she's doing seemingly small things. Father Jedediah, I got to hear his homily on her. He's one of our priests here. And he was just saying, after she passed away, some of the other sisters are like, what can we even write about her? You know, there wasn't much. She died when she was in her early 20s. And, but then, of course, they discovered her writings, right? Her autobiography and how the Lord was working in her life. But it's amazing, yeah, because she was doing these small things, seemingly insignificant, almost unnoticeable at times, or unnoticeable. But she, like you're saying, she was going so deep into what she was giving in these moments, you know, and so much love just in the smallest of things. You know, sometimes we think we got to do the greatest things, you know, the huge things, or be famous and all these things. But actually, like, if we're just do what we're called to do just today and just, like, yeah, pray to, like, give it all we got to go deep and to have, yeah, the greatest understanding and to encounter the Lord in these things, that's the little way, you know, just to do all the small things with great love, as, you know, we always hear her quoted as, and just the power in that, you know, just to be right where the Lord wants us to be. Oftentimes it is just the simple things, but how can we really encounter Jesus in that, or encounter those before us, encounter him in those people before us with just deep love. And sometimes, yeah, that is just like St. Therese, like it's just like being patient with someone who annoys us, or yeah, the small things. Those are so powerful. You know, that's where we encounter the cross, and we could build up the entire church just as St. Therese did. You know, she now is one of the patrons of Europe, I believe, or maybe even of the missions, even though she never went on to become a missionary, which is incredible. But she always did what she could. She always did what she could spiritually. And sometimes that does include these things, right? It is true suffering. Like you said, I know at one point she was sick, but she knew she would walk around whatever the small area she was, in the garden or in a room. And she said she was walking for those missionaries who were like tired and couldn't walk anymore. You know, so she's making this beautiful offering of just like her prayer, but offering up just this little bit of uncomfortability too, whatever it may be. So how we're all capable of that. And yeah, Saint Therese is just a great witness of that. And going back to the beginning too, I love that too. It's not just like they're just a witness from a distance, but they're also, they're there to be our friends and like literally help us. Because I know Saint Therese, she's the one who we always think of when we think of someone helping us from heaven. You know, I forget what the line is, but she wanted to send roses to people or, you know, help people. She wanted to do her greatest work from heaven, even greater than she did on earth. And so that's it. That's it. These saints want to be in relationship with us to help us to come to know Christ, just as we're all in a family in some way, right? So we have a spiritual family too. And we are connected through the church, right? The church triumphant, those in heaven, church militant here on earth, church suffering, we're praying for those in purgatory. We all work together, right? And our prayers are so powerful for those in purgatory. And we could definitely experience grace through these saints in a radical way now. And so I'd encourage everyone out there just to develop a friendship with a saint. Maybe you don't feel like you know any saints well, or maybe you need help in a particular part of your life, but they literally want us to ask them. And just the Lord wants to use these people to shine his grace through that. So,
and how great is that going to be if you spend your life developing these relationships with people who are in heaven? So when you walk, if by the grace of God you enter those gates, Here you have this whole big room full of people that you know.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, I think about that sometimes.
That's
develop
awesome.
The relationships now, and then when you get to heaven, you have these relationships that you built up your whole life, which is really cool to think about.
It's great.
Very good.
Thanks, Sam. Cool. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in today. Know of our prayers. Please pray for us. And please shoot us back your feedback. And let's close out with a quick Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ask Mother Mary's help today, and all the saints and angels to intercede for us. So we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Sheepdogs out.
Sheepdogs out.